What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over sin, over the devil, and all his evil devices. Today, we're talking about narcissism and the spirit of Jezebel again. It's how to beat the Jezebel spirit at this point. We've talked about a number of things, the origin of how people become narcissistic. We talked about the five traits, the top five traits that you can know that if somebody has that spirit. We talked about the tactics they use against you to bring you in, and then of course 10 people that they seek out to abuse. So today we're talking about how to beat the narcissistic person, the spirit of Jezebel. And it's about saying no. It's about setting boundaries and basically cutting them off. So there are 10 things you can do today we're going to talk about that will help you in dealing with the spirit of Jezebel in your life. So at this point, you realize that there are certain people in your life that have this spirit, and they've been using you and they've been abusing you. And so how do you get rid of them? You know, how do you change your life for the better? How do you get people out like this out of your life? So it starts with number one, saying no. Stop saying yes to their demands and their favors, their wants and their needs. Just start saying no. Okay, for some spirits, that alone will begin to push them away. They don't want to deal with you because you won't give them what they want. You know, so some of them will just leave you just off of that. Just start saying no to stuff. Now, when it comes to family, just say you got an elderly parent that you've been taking care of, and this is a narcissistic parent. Maybe they're in your house or they're at a home. You feel like, oh, I can't just say no to them. They got needs. The thing what you can do is to find a replacement caregiver, okay? What you're trying to do is prevent further abuse. You're trying to live a healthy life. And so you're no longer taking care of them. You're not just discarding them, but you're saying that, you know, I'm not going to be abused. So I'm gonna put somebody else in place. You know, I'm not going to be the person that takes care of them directly because of how they treat me. This is one of the real sick in their home somewhere. You know, you take care of them in your home. If they're already in another home, you visit them, you don't have to visit them. You simply don't have to do that, you know, or you can minimize your visits, or you could, in some cases, you can control the behavior of the narcissist. So if you tell them, look, I'm not going to visit you if you mistreat me and do this and that. If I come and this is what you do, then I'm not coming back for a couple months or a couple weeks or whatever. That's been known to work with some of them because they're in a vulnerable position where they can't really do anything about it. Sometimes they'll alter their behavior just for that. So if you want to maintain contact with an elderly spouse, elderly mother or father or grandmother, you know, or a family member, just tell them, look, I'm not putting up with your mess no more. I'm not going to meet you, talk with you, sit by your bed and you talk all this mess to me. You know, you're not going to treat me this way. But I would say definitely if they're in your house, you got to make an arrangement to get them out your house and put them in a home somewhere where somebody else can take care of them. If you have the money, that's what you have to do. If you don't have the money, then, you know, let the Lord lead you on what you need to do. But it's important that these certain people like this just, you know, get out of your space. You got to get them out of your space. But it starts with saying no. For friends and siblings, you know, they may be asking you for stuff like, hey, can I get this? Can I get that? You know, just start saying no. No, I'm not doing that for you. But you've been doing this for me. Yeah, I've been letting you take advantage of me, but no more. Right? And that alone, for some of them, depending on the length of the relationship, they will try to go find somebody else to use, you know, and then they'll be out of your hair. But usually they throw a fit. As we mentioned before, some of the traits of the narcissist is that when they hear no, they get all angry and crazy and all that kind of stuff. That can also be used against them. Just tell them, look, because of your behavior, I'm not coming around to see you no more. That's the beginning of ending that relationship. You know, so they'll be asking for demand. They may demand some things. They may have favors they want done. And you just say no. I'm not giving you that. You know, that's where it starts. And you'll see the change in the person. They may be passive aggressive. They may not flip out on you, but they'll start doing things that show that they're extremely upset that you didn't give them what they want. They act like children. And it's just a more verification that you're dealing with that spirit. But this is the beginning because they now seeing I can't use this person. I can't drain them of their resources and their time and all that stuff. Like I said, when they call you on the phone, you know, limit that conversation to 5 minutes or don't even pick up. What you're doing is reducing the time you got to deal with them until they realize, oh, you know, this person's not giving me what I want. Now, I'll talk about you verbally telling them that they're wrong and that you're cutting off the relationship later. But this is the starting point. Just begin to withdraw, saying, no, I'm not going to give you this. I'm not going to give you that demand. I'm not going to give you this. When it comes to, yeah, for friends and siblings, like I said, these people are not attached to you. So they're not living with you in some cases. Then no is the beginning of the end for them. Now, if you got a spouse, say your spouse is a Jezebel spirit, you're going to have a discussion with them. I'll talk about this later on, but you're going to have to file for separation at some point if they're being abusive, either spiritually or physically. Okay, because the Bible says that we're called to peace. People are called to live in peace. And so you're not supposed to be in a house, in a space like that. Okay. And I talked about that in my article or sermon about, you know, does love mean that you got to put up with abuse and stuff like that? And no, it doesn't. So I'll link that article in the sermon notes for you to look at or listen to. But you start a process of filing separation. You know, you're not divorcing. You're just saying, look, I'm not going to be in the same space with you because you are spiritually abusive. You're verbally abusive. Okay. Now, if you're on a job, you got some kind of coworker who's is trying to make demands on you and stuff like that. I had this happen to me where they're like, hey, can you do this for me? This, that. And it's really like, it's not really part of your job. Be like, no, not doing it. They're going to find somebody else to do it. But they've been using you. They've been getting you to do stuff that, you know, some of their work, you know, and stuff like that. And you've been putting up with it. Just like, no, no. You know, I got this on my plate. This is on my desk. I got to handle this. I'm not doing that. And they'll begin to, of course, they're going to be passive aggressive at some point. And then, but eventually they'll begin to see they can't use you anymore. If it's too bad, say it's the boss, is a narcissist, Jezebel spirit. You're going to have to either get reassigned somewhere else. Maybe you're in a company where there are different branches. Maybe you go to another branch. You say, I want to still work with the company, but I want to go somewhere else. So you can apply for that. You can also get maybe your space rearranged. So say, for instance, you're in a space or cubicle space with these people. You could say, I want to get moved somewhere else. Now, everybody's going to know that you have a problem with them, but if you can get away with that and still do your job and just not have to deal with them so much, that can be helpful. Okay. That can start the process of you eliminating these toxic people out of your life. And then, of course, you're going to find another job. If you're on a job with all of this mess, find another job, or you're going to have to go jobless for a while until you get something else. So these are the options, but you're starting with number one, saying no. I'm not taking your mess no more. I'm not going to put up with your demands and you're not giving you any favors. I'm not giving you what you want. Like I said, there are some needs here. Like your elderly parents need you. They need somebody to help them. But you have to say, look, I'm not going to be putting up with the abuse just because I have to help my elderly parent. First of all, you don't have to. Okay. They just happen to be vulnerable and weak and at this place where family should probably help them. But because of their behavior, they don't deserve any help. Okay, simple as that. Now, there's a passage in scripture where it says if a person doesn't take care of their family, worse than an infidel. And I can see the Jezebel using that against you. I've actually had somebody in the comment section of one of my articles in a couple of years ago say that was brought up. Like they felt like, okay, if I don't keep taking care of my elderly grandmother, who's berating me every time I come around to see her, or who's living in a house with me, that, you know, somehow I'm going to hell, I'm not right with God, and all this kind of stuff. Look, God said this, you know, Jesus specifically said that those who are his family are those who do the will of God. This person is not a part of God's family, therefore they're not a part of yours, okay? So that's the way you got to look at it from a spiritual perspective, all right? And like I said, you don't have to put up with that. God has called you. See, the thing is, you have to look at the Bible in all the areas. You can't just take one passage of scripture and say, this is what I have to do. There's other passages. And once you put them all together, you'll see it's more balanced. Okay. I don't have to put up with this person. I don't have to have this angry, demeaning grandmother in my house talking all this mess to me. You know, I don't have to do that. So they're going to try to shame me for it. Oh, you're not going to take care of me no more. I'm putting you in a home, grandma or mama or daddy. Yeah, you raised me. I don't care about all that stuff about you raising me and all that stuff. Look, you're an abusive person. And this relationship is over. I'll put you in a home. I'll see you maybe once a month, if that. if your behavior changes and gets a little better, maybe I'll see you more. But the bottom line is I'm taking care of my own, you know, my health, basically. I'm not going to put up with this mess. All right. That's the way you got to look at it. All right. Don't let somebody use scriptures against you in this case to continue in a relationship with somebody that's abusing you. All right. There are other verses that say that you've been called to peace. All right. So that's number one. Start with saying no. Number two is start valuing yourself, your time, your resources, and your attention. That's one of the reasons why some people end up in these relationships, because they didn't value that. You know, like I said before, you know, we grow up in a society that teaches us we're not worth anything. And then we subconsciously believe that we just need to put up with stuff. Consciously, we're like, I don't like this, but you keep dealing with it. And that's because of subconscious programming from the world, that you just got to take the mess that you're dealing with on the job, or take the mess that you're dealing with from your spouse or from your church or on your job. All this mess you're putting up with, or certain friends or family members who keep asking you for favors and, you know, and all this stuff, and draining your resources or calling you. And you think that you have to put up with this because you don't have self-value. So you need to build that up. First thing you need to do is start rebuking disrespect. When they disrespect you, stand up and say, don't be talking to me like that. You know, you just implied something about me that's negative and dishonoring or disrespectful. Don't do that. Okay. Now, they're going to, of course, when you stand up for yourself, they're going to try to shame you. As we talked about the tactics before, or the behaviors, rather, they don't want you standing up. They want you to continue to be their punching bag. But you have to stand up and start saying, I'm not taking that. The next thing here is just replace things you would do for or with the narcissist person with things that improve yourself. So you usually would go out with them. Just replace that with I'm work on my business. Go pamper yourself. Go on a vacation. Do something for yourself that makes you feel good. The issue here is that you've been a selfless person in regards to this spirit of Jezebel, and they've been draining you. You need to replace that time that you've been spending with them with something that is going to benefit your health, you know, benefit you as a person. Don't let them drain all your time and your resources. So we start replacing that time. So this is in connection with saying no. If you're saying no to things, you also got a replacement for what you would be doing for them. You see, so you're gradually walking away from them. Number three is withdrawal. This is all connected. Withdrawal is just becoming less available to the narcissist, to that Jezebel spirit. I'm not going to pick up the phone. Or if I do pick up the phone, it's going to be for five to 10 minutes. That's it. It might be less than that. You know, when you come across that person, conversation going to be real short, if not at all. I may just avoid the person altogether. You're withdrawing from that person, and you're spending more time in prayer and other healthy activities and with healthier friends. So if you aren't in a community where you got good friends and you got this narcissist friend, then, you know, just start spending more time with the healthy friends, the friends that don't treat you like that. That way, when the narcissists come around talking about, hey, what's up? Let's hang this, that, and the other. Be like, nah, I'm hanging out with this other person over here. Like I said, you're slowly disconnecting. Number four is go gray rock. Now, this is a term in the psychological narcissist recovery community. It's called going gray rock. And gray rock is exactly what it is. A gray rock just sits there, is emotionless. It doesn't respond to anything. It's pretty much dead. So what you're doing when you practice gray rocking is you do not allow them to get you happy, sad, or rageful. You stay flatline. You show no reaction, and then you give them no fuel. If they get you upset, that gets fuel for them. They get happy about that. If they get you down about their problems, that gives them fuel. If they get you happy, they come in talking about something great happened to them, and you get, you know, happy for them like a good friend would, that gives them fuel. You're giving them, you know, so what you want to start doing is not giving them anything. You know, they can't manipulate you. They can't get a reaction out of you, rather. Now, you may inside feel some kind of way, but don't give them no reaction. Don't give them no fuel. And they'll realize, man, I can't even get this person angry. And you're basically just, like I said, you're disconnecting from them. You're just not available to them because they're parasites, and you refuse to give them any fuel. All right. Number five here is disconnect and have no contact. Okay. This is the point in which you've reached that stage where you can just get rid of them. And they've probably seen it coming. Like I said, a lot of them will try to tell you, yeah, I already knew you was leaving and this, that, and the other. But they hate that you are because they can't use you anymore. But what you do is, depending on the length of the relationship, you send a letter ending the relationship. You tell them exactly why, and if there's a group of people that they're a part of that you were also connected to, you let them know as well. You're writing a letter because you don't want to get into a verbal argument with these people, because they usually, that's what happens. They will try, like we talked about, one of their tactics is word salading, where they accuse, shift the blame. They won't let you just get your point out and just say, look, accept what I'm saying and go. They just keep going back and forth with you, you know. And the best way to do this is just email them, you know, text them, send them a voicemail, you know, and just end that. And of course, if they're part of a community that you were connected to, let them know as well. Look, this person is this, that, and the other. You don't really need to go into detail about how bad of a person they are. Just end the relationship. You want to make it short because you're not trying to convince them of anything. They're not going to be convinced that they're a bad person. You're always the problem. It doesn't matter. So it's not about really convincing them of anything. It's really just letting them know it's over with. Okay. And as I said before, hoovering is what they'll do later on. So they'll try to come back to you maybe 2-3 years later, maybe 2 months later, maybe 2 weeks later, and see if you really let them go. Text you, get a text message or something. They're trying to come back into your life. Just ignore it. But first thing you need to do is send a letter. You got to make it known that it's over with. I've sent letters. I've sent voicemail messages. And that's what's going to happen. Now, depending on how toxic your environment is, you may get a bunch of responses back that are harmful. Like I had my first church, a bunch of people emailed me back talking about, you know, I'm this and I'm that and all that kind of stuff. And they just verified for that they also were not my friends either. And they weren't even connected to the main person I was leaving for, or main people I was leaving for. So it was just like amazing to how God revealed a lot of more people that was not my brothers, sisters in Christ. So expect all of that, but you need to send a letter of disconnection. All right. Next thing you need to do, you need to block them from all social media, email and phone, right? You don't want to see them popping up in your social media feeds because they're going to take shots through that way. You don't want them private messaging through Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or other social media platforms. So you block them. That means they can't send you any messages of hurt or try to hoover you back in. Because like I said, for some women and men, if they're in a long-term relationship, this was their spouse, they might start thinking about the good old days, the times when they weren't being abused by the person, and then that person tries to hoover them back into that same old toxic relationship again. And if you stay in contact with them on social media and you keep looking at their pictures and stuff, that may rekindle feelings of the past of a relationship that you should not be a part of. That's painful. Okay, so block them. All right. They don't get no access to you. They don't get to see what's happening on your social media either. And so they can't contact you. They can't email you. They can't text you. Just close all that stuff off. Now, depending on you got kids involved or something, you may have to leave some level of contact open. But make sure that method is the only method that they can contact you on. And you let them know this is the only way you're going to be able to contact me, and have full control over that as well. But you don't want to. You don't want to see them no more. You want to cut them off. And what you're doing is cutting off their supply. They've been draining you. They've been using you, basically, your fuel, a supply to them. And they've just been draining you. That's all they're using you for. They don't care nothing about you. So you're cutting that off. They can't drink from you no more, basically what you're saying. So on the physical world, just avoid them altogether. Move away if you can. You know, okay? Don't check up on it. Once again, don't check your block messages. If you get blocked messages or if you get a voicemail, say, for instance, you block their number, meaning that they will never be able to call you, really. You'll never get a phone call from them. And you block their texts, too. You can do that through your phone nowadays. But sometimes voicemails go through for some reason. So they can leave. Don't listen to it. Or if you know that's them, don't listen to it. In the past, we didn't have a block feature, but we did have the ability to rename our contact. So what I would do is I would rename the contact DNA, which stands for do not answer. And so anytime I see DNA pop up on my phone, I would say, okay, I'm not answering that, because that's a person that I don't want to deal with no more. This is somebody that I have cut off because of their abusive behavior. All right. So you're not trying to check up on them. So don't unblock them or don't creep up on them and see what they're doing on their social media page. You got to get out of that. Like I said, this is usually for people who have been in long-term romantic relationships. I don't like that word, but just they were married or whatever, boyfriend and girlfriend. They had a sexual bond or whatever. Doing that is going to cause you to weaken you, and you're going to end up back in that relationship again. All right. All right. So don't do that. Another thing you need to do as you disconnect is ignore and block the flying monkeys. All right. We talked about who those people are. Those are extensions of the Jezebel spirit. People who have bought the lie about who you are. And they're sent out to harm you and to send messages to you and all that kind of stuff. Well, if you know people like that, then you're going to have to disconnect from them as well. They'll be sent to get intel because the Jezebel spirit can't see you anymore. They'll send out the flying monkey to see how you're doing. And they'll send that information back to the Jezebel. You know, then your next thing you'll know, you'll start hearing from Jezebel again, some kind of way. Or they'll find you somewhere. You'll be in a grocery store and they'll just happen to run into you. Like, it's all planned up. It was set up, you know? So if you know that they got friends that you were friends with and they still friends with Jezebel, oh, they part of that circle. So just cut them off too. If they contact you, look, who you dealing with, that ain't who they really are. Just let them know that. You don't even try to explain you're not trying to explain to the flying monkey that the person is a Jezebel spirit. You got to let them figure that out themselves. You got to keep it simple. Look, I ain't dealing with them because they're abusive. Whatever they said about me ain't true, but I'm done with them and I'm done with you because you'll put you down with them too. So I'm done with you too. Don't contact me. Leave me alone. That's all you got to do is leave it at that. Don't try to explain or get people to see you as a good person. That's one of the things you will try to do. That's what I want to stress here. Part of what you want to do is, I'm not this bad person that everybody's saying I am. I'm not. Get out of that. It doesn't matter. They've lied so much since you were in a relationship and afterward. It doesn't matter. These people have to wake up for themselves and see you for where you really are. They're really your friends. They would have came to you about these lies and said, hey, is this true? So a lot of times when you break up with the narcissist spirit, the Jezebel spirit, and you walk away and you got these friends who are believing the lies and they treat you accordingly, you have to wonder whether or not they were your friends either. And a lot of times they're not. You really aren't that close. They just believe whatever's out there. And like I said, the scripture, you know, those who believe lies, you know, practice wickedness, basically, you know. Or other words, they believe gossip, they practice wickedness. So I said that basically those who believe lies and gossip are also liars. They're not your friends either. They didn't really like you either. They would easily accept something not true about you. You know, and so that's what I found out in my first three churches. Well, first and second, third church, rather, that the people who believe the lies that the Jezebel spirit has spread, they were never my friends either. Even though I gained in the word of God every other week, fed them, drove them to church, all that kind of stuff. I do all this stuff for these people. But at the end of the day, this is what they do in return. So this is how it is. And it just shows you who your real friends. So you don't want them. You don't really want people that are going to believe lies about you and not just come to you. A real friend who loves you will come to you and say, hey, so-and-so said you this and that. Is this true? They don't just accept it and just start treating you funny. A fake friend is what they do. They accept the lies and start treating you funny. A real friend will come to you and say, hey, is this true? You know? So just be mindful of that. But don't try to prove how good of a person you are, because it doesn't matter. The flying monkeys made their mind up, and the Jezebel spirit, of course, has created a fantasy, a narrative about you, and they're not going to back off of that, because they have to be the righteous person. You got to be the wicked villain in the story. So that's just the way it is, and you just got to let those people go. Okay? All right, so that's what you're doing with no contact. Now, you're living in no contact at this point. Now, number six here is to document everything. All right? This is pertaining to when you're in a marriage or if you had a job or something like that, because there will be gaslighting, of course, and there will be people doing evil stuff behind your back trying to do stuff to you. You want to document stuff, emails, phone calls, text messages, letters. In some cases, you want to video record. If you're being abused, video record it during the process. That way it can be helpful for you in a divorce court and job disputes. OK, and that's usually admissible in court. They don't let you do recordings, but they let you do video recordings. So what you could do is like turn your phone's camera on with the video playing, sitting on the desk, and while they're talking all this mess to you, let it run, you know? Of course, you don't let them know you're doing that. And then you say, hey, boss, this is what they're saying to me. This is how they treat me behind closed doors. Or, I mean, you in court and you're saying, look, this is what they do to me. This is how they treat me. That way you got evidence of the misbehavior, all right? And so it also helps for just your own sanity. Because like I said, they do gaslighting. They'll act like, they'll tell you you said something you didn't say. And for people who are normal-minded, they'll think maybe I didn't say, you know, and of course it's all made up. They just lying to you. They want to alter your reality. So when you're having conversation with them and you feel like this may be used against you in the future, in the sense that they're going to say you didn't, they didn't say this or something, just record it for your own sake. You know, and you say, okay, play it back. Did I really say that? And you realize you're being gaslit. And so, unfortunately, you know, even if you're at this point, you know you're in a messed up relationship by that in itself. You got to record stuff just to feel some sanity because you know you're in a bad relationship. That's just how it is, whether they are narcissistic or not. Now, of course, they will try to shame you for this if they find out. How dare you? You're secretly recording me. You don't respect my privacy, blah, blah, blah. You know, what kind of person are you? They're going to try to flip it on you. All right. Don't get into that. Okay. Trying to take care of yourself. Okay. This person has been abusing you. And so you have to be like, look, I need to have some verification for myself. And this is what you got to do. Number 7 here is draw strength from the Holy Spirit. All right. Pray every day for courage, boldness, peace, and protection. All right. You'll find that he will guide you around the Spirit. You know, he will protect you and give you peace, right? And understand that we don't wrestle with humans, but evil spirits. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, blah, blah. You know the scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Put on the full armor of God. You know, I got a series talking about that. So understand that you're dealing with demons in this person. And they can be defeated by the blood of Jesus, by God, you know, and just working with the Lord, you know, putting on a helmet of salvation, put on the belt of truth and the shield of faith and the arm of, you know, righteousness and take up the sword of the Spirit, you know, everything that you need. And you pray that every morning when you go into dealing with this person. That way you're protected and you'll find that you will be protected, that the day will be peaceful or they won't bother you, you know, or something like that. And eventually they'll be out of your life because they realize they can't use you. And they see Jesus. See, the demons in there see Jesus. If you got Jesus with you in this, they're going to start backing off. They're going to still bad mouth you, maybe, but they know Jesus is with you. You done stood up with Jesus now. You got your big brother with you now. And they can't beat Jesus. So they're like, oh, man, okay. Like I said, it's a collection of spirits in this person. The person not necessarily conscious of it. But it's the spirits, they know damn well that that's Jesus up there walking around with you now. And you got angels with you too. So when you take on the power of God, when you start walking in the power of God, then they, you know, and eventually, like I said, they're gonna leave you alone. Okay. You're still gonna have some, like I said, some bad mouthing and stuff like that. But like I said, just know that you need God in this, okay? Number 8 is to seek no revenge. Forgive and protect yourself. So the Bible says that the Lord is your avenger. I know once you realize what they're doing, you're really angry. Like I was really angry with the first spirits I was dealing with. The first people in my first church, I wanted to actually harm physically. And I knew where all of them lived. And I was really considering doing something to them that would break the law. I mean, I was at that place because I felt like I'm a brand new Christian. I'm impressionable. I'm naive. I don't know any better. I come into an environment that's supposed to actually help me grow and be all I can be in Christ. And then I'm being used, manipulated, exploited. And somebody got to pay for this. I'm at a place of vengeance where I'm about to do something about it. Literally about to do something about it. And also you feel like, man, if I do it, I'm going to go to prison and all this kind of stuff. They're going to catch me eventually. Deal with it. Let that anger be there, but just don't sin with it. Okay. I'm going to talk about anger next, but you don't get no revenge. I didn't get any revenge. I didn't do anything to these people, okay? I called them and forgave them. I called them up, got them on the phone and forgave them, okay? I told them directly, I forgive you for what you did. God is better at revenge than we are. And of course, if you want to get into a battle with them to try to get your revenge on, usually they're better at fighting because they have no empathy. They'll blow up everybody and kill themselves in the process just to win the battle. That's how they are. But you're not actually capable of doing that. They're capable of that. Okay. And just for a side note, all psychopaths and all sociopaths are narcissists. So we all know what psychopaths are. You know, they kill a bunch of people. They have no feeling about it. They off the chain with it. All right. And I'm not going to go into what the difference between a psychopath is and a sociopath is, but both of them are narcissistic. And so that may sound confusing to you, but narcissism is what's in a psychopath and a sociopath. It's just their levels of what they're going to do with it. You see? So you can have a normal narcissist. They might not be psychopathic and they might not be a sociopath. They just be a regular narcissist, but those are the next level. So you don't know what they are. So get into a battle. I'm going to take you down. I'm going to expose you. You get in a war with these people. Like I said, you better be ready to kill somebody yourself. You better be ready to get in the dirt with them because that's how they play. They don't have any remorse. They don't have any empathy because of their pride and their arrogance. They refuse. They would die. They would take everybody with them just so you would die. If they wanted to kill you and get rid of you, they would blow everybody up and they self. That's how they are. Now you a kind person, you empathetic, you thinking about other people and you don't want to harm nobody else, but them, no, they don't care about nobody. So if you want to get into a war with them, that's why I say don't do it. And all the psychologists say the same thing. Don't do it. Just walk away. Let God take care of them. Well, usually these people will die by themselves alone or something like that. Kind of like the elderly person at the beginning. Elderly, no family. A lot of those elderly people that ain't got no friends or family, they in a home somewhere and they're always complaining to somebody about all their friends and family left them. It's because they narcissistic. They abused everybody. Nobody's in their life. And they'll die that way. They'll die alone. Okay? That's their end. All right? You don't get in trying to take them out and all that kind of stuff. So it's not your job to try to beat them or try to defame them and all that kind of stuff. You protect yourself, though. Now, well, before I get to that, forgive. So as I said before, I got a series on forgiveness. Forgiveness, once again, is not letting them back into your house and letting them abuse you again, but it is releasing them from the debt that they owe you, all right? Because they'll never pay it anyway. You can be like, they better apologize for what they did to me. They ain't gonna never apologize, okay? So don't get into that, okay? You just release them and say, look, you owe God, because that's who you owe, really. Everybody owes God. Every time you sin against somebody, you owe God. You sin against God. That's what I think David was saying in the book of Psalms chapter 51. He said, against you alone have I sinned, God. And he was talking about Bathsheba, you know, killing her husband and committing adultery with her. Now, but didn't you sin against Bathsheba and her husband? But he's talking about God. So he understood that anytime you commit sin, you transgress against God. So these devils, they transgressed against God. Yeah, they did. They hurt you too. And God's going to get revenge because you are part of him. But forgive, all right? If you need more help on that, just email me and I'll let you know how to do that. But there's articles on the subject. And then, of course, finally, protect yourself. If you feel like this person is violent and they may try to stalk you from now on, and then they, you know, what you can do is protect yourself. Get a restraining order. You can use the law for that. Carry a weapon and lock your doors and be vigilant. And of course, go back to praying in the Holy Spirit about protection. He'll take care of you. Rest in him. You don't walk around being fearful and scared, you know, because God is with you. You just understand that. If you're walking in the Lord, you got to walk in peace. You can't walk around scared. All right. So don't fear. Know that your big brother Jesus is with you. All right. He's walking with you. You got angels and all that stuff. And just, you know, declare it every day when you pray in the morning. Look, you rest not against flesh and blood. I put on the full armor of God. I'm victorious. And the spirits will know. They'll realize when you got faith in God. They'll be like, okay, we can't mess with him. So the Jezebel may not even come around your house no more. But if they do, and you got the right tools to handle them, okay? And be like, look, they came in my house. It was a restraining order. You know, they got two bullets in their head or whatever. However it go down, you protect yourself. Because there's just this thing going around where people got it. Christians supposed to be pacifists or something like that. And that ain't in scripture. You know, turn the other cheek and all that goofy stuff. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Especially you got children and stuff like that. You know, you got to protect yourself. Don't let nobody come up in your crib. But anyway, put your faith in God. He'll keep you safe. You know, keep you vigilant. All right. Number 9 is you're going to have to grieve. This is if you had a long period of time with this person, if you were in a relationship with them for a long period of time. I had to grieve my first time I dealt with the spirit of Jezebel, because it was a 4-year membership at this church and in the ministry. And I'm going out with this Jezebel spirit. Like I said, I'm going on different trips with this guy and the rest of the ministry. So there was a closeness there, but that spirit had wrapped its tentacles around me and in me. So when you break off from that spirit, that pain of that, it's kind of like tape, like really, really heavy tape on your mouth or something, like, and you rip it off. There's a pain there because you had something stuck to you. You had a parasite stuck to you. So when you rip that off, you know, it's a painful experience. Okay. So you grieve. Grieving comes from that. And there's a 5 stages of grieving. I'm going to go over them basically, but depending on your relationship, you will be grieving and you need to go through that process. All right. So the first stage is denial. Now, I've skipped most of these because I discarded most of my Jezebel spirits. So there is no denial. So let me just go through the 5 and then I'll explain each one in briefly. First stage is denial. Second stage is anger. Third stage is bargaining, where you, what if, maybe if I can go back in time, if only this or that. Number 4 is depression. And then number 5 is acceptance. So denial usually come over people who got discarded by the narcissist. They use the person up and then they say, you know what? I don't need you no more. And they just walk off. Especially in a relationship. You hurt. Okay. You married. And they do that to you. You're going to be very hurt. You know, you're going to be in denial initially. This can't be happening. They didn't just leave like that. And you go through this stage. Okay. Then once you realize they did and they just played you, they've been using you the whole time, then this anger comes in. Embrace the anger. The Bible says be angry and sin not. You need to go through these emotional states, all right? Okay, so a lot of people like to suppress negative emotions. That's not healthy. Don't do that. God gave you emotions to express. You just don't allow your emotions to lead you to sin. That's all. Anger is a normal emotion that comes over you. And so you need to deal with that. So let the anger come out. So that's what happened with me. I jumped directly to anger because I discarded most of mine, but I had realized, like, man, these people was using me. They was abusing me, wasting my time and devaluing me. And I was angry because I'm like, you know, and like I said, I talked about what I wanted to do to them earlier. So you're going to go through anger. Then you're going to go through bargaining. Okay. Bargaining is, like I said, I skipped this one here. Bargaining is you start thinking about the relationship. Like I said, usually for people who were married, they start talking about what if. Maybe if I did this or that. Sometimes it's more of a, I wish I didn't do that. Or maybe if I would have did this, they wouldn't have did that. Maybe I could have controlled the narcissist. Maybe I could have, and you go through this stuff. Or maybe I can, you start thinking, maybe I can go back to him. Maybe I can fix this. And that's a stage that you'll go through. After that, once you realize you can't fix nothing, you got played, you're done with anger, then it comes depression. You just say it. He's like, man, this is jacked up. And there's people out here like this, using you, abuse you. The world is dark, it's ugly. And you just sit in depression. You just sit there. Can't get out of bed, eating everything in the house, sluggish. And you need family and friends for this because they'll help you get out of that quicker. But for me, I didn't have nobody, okay? So I had to go through most of these by myself. And then finally, it's acceptance. You just accept it. This is the reality. This is how people are. And then you're out of the grieving phase. You're done. Okay. And then you can say, you know, there's wicked people out here. That's how they are. Hopefully, you know, these messages will help you to get to the acceptance phase quicker. But a lot of people, like I said, for the first time, they don't understand that people are like this. So you're going to grieve. Go through the process, right? Prepare to grieve. Or I'm going to have to grieve. You know, and that's what you do. And finally, number 10, it's the last part of this, is join a support group. Once again, I didn't have no access to people. I didn't know nobody. I had to heal on my own by myself and had to. I learned by just being with Jesus. I was just like studying forgiveness and just kept praying about these people. And eventually I was able to get over it. But there are forums out there, retreats, meetups, specifically for people who have been abused by narcissistic people. All right. So just go on meetup.com. You'll find some. All right. There are forums you can go to, YouTube channels that's all about narcissism and recovery. And you can go into the comment section, just read people's stories and then leave your story, you know, and you're just getting healing by seeing other people going through the same thing. And, you know, and then stay on guard in these meetings because it'd be narcissists in those meetings. So they're trying to take advantage of people who are hurting. So just be mindful, especially the meetups. You know, if you go to a meetup where you physically going to a restaurant or some office space with other abuse recovery people, just be mindful that, you know, be on guard, but know that for the most part, it's probably going to be a healthy environment where you can talk about what happened to you and share your story with others and then heal and develop relationship with other people who have also come out of relationships like that. And I will say this, don't get into a new relationship, especially romantic or, you know, sexual or whatever, courting or marriage or anything until you heal. And I would even say, don't even join a church until you've healed. Because if you're still wounded, you're still leaking, that those Jezebel spirits will smell it. Like I said, they'll smell it. You'll come in wounded and they'll be like, oh, okay. And they'll try to swoop another Jezebel to come in and try to get you. So just heal before you get into a new one. All right, just heal. So go through the grieving process and then have a good support group. And then from there, once you heal, you can get into that. So that's all I got for you. Those are the 10 steps here. Number one, once again, the review, say no. Start saying no to the demands. Number two, start valuing yourself, your time, your resources, and your attention. Don't give that to them anymore. Respect yourself and rebuke their disrespect. Withdraw from them. Just become less available to them. Go gray rock, meaning you don't allow them to get a reaction out of you. Number five is disconnect. Have no contact with them. Cut off all social media, letters. Send a letter initially just saying, hey, I'm done with you. And then cut off the social media and block them and all that kind of stuff. And once again, I have to stress, don't try to prove that you're a good person. Forget all that. All right. Keep it short. You're not trying to get the narcissist to see their error or their ways or anything like that. Okay. You're trying to move on for yourself. Number six, document everything. Of course, if you're in a marriage or if you're in a job situation, that way, if they break any laws, you can present that in court or something. That way you can at least get some kind of justice for what they're doing. File complaints too. Of course, you know, HR, hey, this is what's happening. Make sure that that's filed at least so people can say that this is their behavior. Number seven is very important. Draw strength from the Holy Spirit. Pray every day about the situation. Pray for courage and boldness and peace and protection. And understand you're wrestling with demons, okay? These are demons and people, and they can be defeated in the power of Jesus Christ, right? Number eight, seek no revenge. Forgive, protect yourself. Number nine, grieve. Go through that process if necessary. Number 10, join a support group. Hook up with some other people. Like I said, the internet is vast. You can find all kinds of stuff out there. The lady I linked on my articles, Dr. Romani, she has retreats and stuff. And then there's forums and support groups and other places you'll find on YouTube where you can connect with other people. So you'll be fine just long as you stay with Christ, follow these steps here. And that's the beginning of that. And so we got more to talk about when it comes to narcissism, but this is how you beat them. You don't give them what they want anymore. You simply withdraw from them. Don't allow them to be a parasite on you. That's it. And you gradually walk away from them. You get them from untangled. That's how I did it with my first Jezebel. Just start withdrawing. Eventually, sent them a text or a voicemail. I left them a voicemail, and then I wrote a letter to the church, and then I left the church. This is the world that we live in, and there are people out here like this, but this is how you deal with them. You start seeing signs of a person being like this, just cut them off. And that's it. And early on, like I said, if you see this stuff, you can nip it in the bud quickly. You didn't know no better, first of all. That's the saying. The first time you got hit a couple of times, you didn't know no better. You didn't know what this was. Now you know what it is. So when you see their traits, those top five traits, when you see the behaviors and the tactics, move on. And you'll be fine. That's all I got for you today. Until next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.